Welcome to the Living Spiritfully podcast, Heart to Heart edition. Here's your host for today, Paul Galoro.
Earlier this week, I was corresponding with today's guest about our conversation, and she said that her heart was pounding with excitement and a few nerves. And I thought to myself, you have nerves? All you got to do is show up and be your fabulous self. I'm the one that's interviewing the queen of fitness, Mo Hagan. So needless to say, just as one would when they're hosting royalty, I brought out the fancy mug. So I'm drinking my tea out of the fancy mug today. I'm wearing a button-down shirt. And as I told Mo a moment ago, I even put on pants for today's conversation.
Oh, and I said, how honored am I?
Yes, that is the voice of Maureen Hagan, an internationally acclaimed health and fitness entrepreneur, best-selling author, and speaker who boasts a 40-year legacy in the fitness realm. Mo is the chief operating officer of CanFit Pro, Canada's leading fitness education organization. And in case you missed it, she received a Lifetime Achievement Award at CanFit Pro's 30th anniversary global conference and trade show in Toronto this year. I don't want to brag, but I was there to witness it in person. She looked stunning in her gorgeous pink dress. She's wearing pink again today, but I digress. She is a licensed physiotherapist, a certified fitness, aqua, and yoga instructor, and embodying her mission to inspire positive change worldwide. Mo is not merely a figurehead in the fitness world, but a true catalyst for transformation. Everyone, please welcome to the show, Mo Hagan.
Oh, Mo. Thank you, Paul. Thank you. I want to hire you to be my marketing agent with an intro like that.
I'm just speaking from the heart, Mo. I'm so thrilled to be here with you today. Honestly, it means so much for me to have you on the show. So thank you for being here.
Well, anytime you ask, I say yes, because hanging out with you is truly a gift. I'm not just saying that. I feel it and I witnessed it. I have to say, I know your viewers and listeners will already know this about you, but when I had the honor of presenting you this year as well with an award, the Fit Pro of the Year with CanFit Pro, I was in my fitness shoes, but I felt like I was going to fall off them because you had so much vibe when you came to that stage, yet you're so grounded at the same time. Mm-hmm. And that is truly unique. I just have to say, you just about knocked me off my fitness heels because you vibed at such a high level. And that's what I love about you. But at the same time, you're so grounded. It's a beautiful yin yang energy. I just wanted to say that off the top. Oh,
thank you, Mo. I received that. Thank you. That means a lot. I mean, before we get into our conversation, since we're talking about it, there was a moment on the stage. I mean, I was holding this giant check and my award, and this was just before Trevor was called up, and you know, there was something going on. So there's somebody from backstage came and talked to me, and you walked over and you said something to me. You put your arm around me and it just like brought me back into the moment, because for a minute I had left my body, and then you came in and you said something to me and it just brought me into the moment. So thank you for that.
Oh wow. Yeah. I remember the moment. Whatever I said probably had something to do with just take this moment to, you know, be witness to what you're experiencing yourself, because often it's like it's an out-of-body experience and you have no idea what you say. I'm proof of that. I had no idea what I was saying, but I'm glad that I was there to be your anchor in the moment.
Yes. Yes. Thank you. Honestly. And you've been there through so many moments of my career that have been big and transformative for me. So I'm saying it here once again, from the entirety of my being, thank you for everything that you've done for me personally and professionally.
It's absolutely my pleasure. Mm,
amazing. Now, Mo, we are here having a heart to heart. And as you know, the question that I ask all guests off the top of the show is, how is your heart?
Well, thank you for asking this particular day. My heart is both lifted and struggling a little bit. I've had a lot going on at work and I've been struggling with some decisions with my family and with my upcoming vacation, because it was to be to Egypt. And it was something I was really looking forward to. So I both have a heavy heart and a lifted heart. And that may sound like things are all a struggle, but they're not. Like the ECG, you know, I have my highs and lows. And I guess I could say my heart's kind of finding the middle ground. And I continue to tap into that energy just to learn about why I'm feeling that way, but also recognize that, oh, bless, I'm human. And some days are not so magnificent as others are, but it, in the end, it balances out.
Oh, I love that. Thank you. I'm curious. You just said that, you know, you're always learning about yourself. What is something that you're learning that or that you've learned about yourself recently with what you've just said and what you're experiencing?
Well, it happens to be that I was witness to a general session, or otherwise known as a keynote, with Lawrence Biscontini last Friday at Canfit Pro's Aspires Growth. Mm-hmm. And one of his 30 secrets to having a thriving career in life is that you should experience the highs and lows. And he used a beautiful metaphor that everybody could relate to, and it was the ECG. It's your heart rate. And he said, you want the highs, you want the lows, and you want to live in all of that experience to learn about yourself. Because the other option is if you're seeking flat line, like balance, like even, that's called flatlining. And we all know what that means on an ECG.
Right. Again.
Yeah. So I learned to embrace the highs and lows and to be okay with that. And while I've come to understand that that's my only option anyways, it was very liberating to actually understand that that's what we're all seeking, the highs and lows in life, because otherwise life would be boring or flatline.
Yeah.
So that's what the last week has been an aha experience in that way. It was just a really good reminder. And while we were hearing from our keynote speaker about the secrets to a thriving career, that may not have been new news, but certainly it's a good reminder for us all. And with that, this week, as I continue to have a few of my struggles, technology being one of them, I worked on myself to be more grounded in the moment and not impatient, because that's what I tend to do when I'm busy, is become very impatient. And I can be somewhat demanding of myself and others when that stress seeps through that impatience. So I thank Lawrence and I thank all the teachers I get to learn from for things that help me personally, not just professionally.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, as COO of Canfit Pro, you are like working with so many teachers and educators in the industry. I mean, we just came off of an amazing event, Canfit Pro 30th anniversary global conference in Toronto. Like, I'm still buzzing from that experience. Yes, that was also the experience where I was crowned Fitness Professional of the Year. But also just being in the energy, having everyone together again, and without the restrictions that we had last year, there was just something that was so expansive of this year, and especially that it was Canfit Pro's 30th anniversary. So tell me a little bit about that. Like, what were you hoping for? What came out of it? How are you feeling about the entire thing?
Well, pleased to say, and I knew it was going to happen. That's where you trust, because I knew based on the numbers, how many people were coming out for our anniversary event. It really exceeded my expectations that what I wanted to have happened. And that was the connection, the kinetic energy of people being with people. And while we can learn through the screen and have connection, especially we've learned how to really hone our skills presenting online, it was nothing like being in person. It was like a resuscitation of sorts. Mm-hmm. And for some, it was a true resuscitation of why they're in the industry, but also for their energy.
Yeah.
You know, I had trouble sleeping the whole weekend. I had to get up, and normally I'd go run, wake myself up. I had to wake myself up. I had to get up and ground myself because there was just so much energy that weekend. And it really did help us remember the power of personal connection. I mean, we're in a service industry, but we took it for granted. I took it for granted. I shouldn't speak on behalf of everybody else, but I took for granted. I'm going to see my members every week in my classes. I'm going to see my boss. I'm going to see the people I work with. I'm going to walk into the office. There's going to be this big energy as it always is. And I'm going to be grateful. Typically, I'm the last to leave because I'm, you know, I love to talk to people and learn from them. And then when it's taken away like that, you really understand the power of being with others, especially like-minded people, and they truly lift you up or you lift them up. And I thought it was just the kinetic energy was so expansive. That's the word you used. It's perfect. It was explosive. It was contagious. And people are still talking, not about what they learned.
They're
talking about who they got to hang out with, what they got to do that they didn't check a box to say, I'm going to go to this session, but what they got to do in the moment, what they got to experience and who they got to experience it with, who they met that didn't plan to meet, how it changed their life, their career, presented opportunities. I could go on, but that is certainly what we experienced. And I believe for everybody that was there, it really recharged their purpose and their passion. And they, I'm sure in some shape or capacity, they're all saying, I am not going to miss out being at an in-person event for my future development, because you just can't learn or experience the way you do when you're with others. And to witness people being celebrated and to witness being celebrated and to witness people's stories that you hear as you're standing in the hallway or at the parties, like that is just, you know, it's just like when you go to a fantastic party or New Year's Eve celebration, you talk about it for months or until like the next one.
Right.
And that's what I hope everyone's going to do, is talk about it till the next one, because there is another one in just less than a year now. So honestly, Paul, it exceeded everything we had planned. And thank you to everybody that took a risk and came, whether it was a financial risk, time risk, you know, time away from family, whatever it was. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Because we couldn't have created that. We couldn't have created that without each other all showing up.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was such a celebration of how far, I think, not only how far the industry has come in the short little period since, you know, we had everything taken away from us, but also how far CanFit Pro has come and all of its members and everyone involved with CanFit Pro, how far that's come in 30 years. I mean, now, okay, take me back to those early days, because if I'm not mistaken, you and Patch, David Patch Elevens, kind of came up with this idea of creating an education, a fitness education system for Canada, because 30 years ago, something like that didn't exist. Is that correct?
You've got it a 99% right. We did have something that existed. There was a Canadian Aerobic Instructor Network. That's the full name for CANE. It did exist. And it was something that we relied on, but we all had to travel to, because typically it was always in Montreal. Not that that wasn't a reason to go to Montreal in the middle of winter, but it existed, but it was limiting. And the other thing that really stood out for Patch, my boss then, my boss today, is that for him to reach his goals, to open the largest amount of clubs in a short period of time, because he had this big, hairy, audacious goal to have 100 Good Life Fitness clubs. Why? Nobody understood then. Some days we don't understand now, but now that we've gone to like 300. But at that time, he wanted to grow the industry because he's very entrepreneurial. He saw the opportunity that fitness, especially group fitness, back then aerobics, was surging, but there wasn't enough instructors to meet the demands of the consumers that wanted it. And so he saw the opportunity, but he thought, if I can't find fitness instructors, and back then personal training was just being sparked as a job where you could actually charge people to take them through their workout, because prior to that, it was part of the membership.
Interesting.
Yeah, I was a trainer on the floor, and I put every single member through a workout, but we didn't charge for it. Then came personal training,
right,
to allow us to get more personalized and to actually put value for the trainer and the member. But at that time, Patch said, you know, I want to improve the industry so that more people will come into it. And I want, hopefully, those that see opportunity to come and work at Good Life. So let's start this conference. And he bought the rights for the name of a conference, trade show, and magazine at the time that had a really strong brand in Europe. And because it had a Europe brand to it, it really did seek attraction by Canadians. Canadians love the feeling of a international global feel. Mm-hmm. And so that really helped spark us into the marketplace. And then, of course, we did the thing that Patch and I are both very good at doing, and that is connecting people with their passion and providing them an opportunity or a purpose. So we invited all our friends to come as presenters. And back in those days, 30 years ago, we couldn't afford to pay most of them, but they were friends of Patch, friends of Mo. And we asked them, would you like to come to Canada? And they're like, yeah. So we helped them fulfill their passion, expand their brand, and help them with their resume. And in exchange, they presented in Canada. And quite honestly, Paul, which most people may not know, is we thought this would be a project for a few years just to get the market of fitness professionals elevated enough to meet the needs of the employers that wanted to hire more trainers and instructors. We had no idea what we were doing as a business. But one thing led to the other and to the next. And before you knew it, we had a certification. And before we knew it, we were celebrating 30 years.
Wow. I mean, that's amazing. Thank you for that history lesson, because I took my first Camfit Pro certification, personal trainer specialist, in 2005. So I didn't have that background. And at the first conference I attended was 2007. And I think it was the year later that it was the 15th anniversary, because I remember I was part of the V Squad. I got up on the stage with everybody to hype the crowd. That was the year that Kathy Smith presented. She did the keynote.
Right.
Goosebumps, because I mean, as a kid growing up, I was doing Kathy Smith VHS tapes with my mom. So like, that's what excited me about and being there. It was just amazing. And actually, I just remembered this. There was, remember back in the day, we would have the delegate party on the Friday night, and it was a Zumba party, and Kathy Smith came, she made an appearance, and I was just dancing on the stage as I do. And she said, oh, great. What are you presenting this year? I can't wait to attend your sessions. I'm like, me? Oh, I was a delegate. I wasn't anything fancy. And she's like, yeah, aren't you presenting? I'm like, oh no, I'm here to learn. And she's like, oh, okay, see you. And walked off. And I was like, what was that? And then, you know, fast forward 4 or 5 years later, there I am presenting my first sessions at Camfit Pro.
She saw what was within you. Yeah, she's very, Paul, I know you love this type of it. She's very intuitive. And she built her business on intuitiveness and not necessarily, she's a very smart businesswoman, but it did not come naturally. What came naturally was seeing an opportunity and knowing what she was really good at, a phenomenal athlete, but also loved to move to music and show people how to, you know, build a better body and to feel good about themselves. And yeah. And then she obviously connected with good people to manage and build her business. And you and I both grew up with Kathy Smith.
Yeah.
You know, me quite a few years ahead of you. but it was Jane Fonda and Kathy Smith.
Yeah. I could go on about those days, and I actually want to talk about like a little bit more in a moment about your experience as you use the word aerobics instructor. I don't know why we're still not using that word. I kind of like it, but I also don't know why we're not wearing the leotard anymore. That's a whole other topic for another conversation. But I did mention to you before we hit record that I was going to bring in a little astrology to our conversation, as I do. And now I've mentioned this to listeners. I think I've also mentioned it to you. I'm taking a course in psychological astrology. It's a year long. I'm in my second month at this point. And so I'm diving deeper into the signs in a different way that I haven't looked at the zodiac before, which is really fascinating. And last night I was reading Sagittarius. You are a Sagittarius. And there was a part here, I'm going to read it out of the book, that just jumped out at me. And I'm like, this to me feels like you. Mm-hmm. And what, well, from my vantage point anyway, mm-hmm. I'm curious to know your take on it. But from where I am, I see you as this. And then I have I want to know a little bit more about just about your experience in the industry, because again, there's just so much. But I'll start off here. This is what it says. Exploration and questing are key to Sagittarius, who always wants to go further and take things farther. The sign has a nomadic, wandering feel to it, and it can be associated with having the most wide-ranging interests of all the signs. Sagittarius exudes all the faith, optimism, and trust that Scorpio found so elusive. The more extrovert, jovial Sagittarian type will often have a Tigger-like quality, being bouncy and boisterous and prone to exaggerated gestures and responses. At best, there can be an appreciation of fun and an ability to spread joy.
Whoa.
So, I mean, okay, tell me, when you read that or when you hear that, how does that land for you?
I wish I learned that when I was like 5. And the reason I say that is my mother would always say, my teachers would always say, not so much my boss, because Patch actually hired me for my curiosity and desire to do a wide range of things and to be curious and wander out there to find opportunity. And that's how I was able to do that, by traveling the world, because I seek adventure and I'm always wanting to learn. My husband's always saying, you ask questions I'd never think of. And I think that's just normal, isn't it? But it is like true to a point. But my mom would always say, why can't you just sit, be still, stop talking? My teachers would say the same thing, to the point where they'd say, if you could just sit, not daydream, which is, you know, think about what is possible. If you could stop talking about anything but what we're learning, you might actually get somewhere in school. That's what one of my teachers actually said to me in front of my class. So that's where I learned that would shut me down, as it did as a young child. That's why I say I wish I learned this earlier, because I, for years, would just shut myself down thinking, well, I shouldn't be speaking up because I'm saying things that is not part of the conversation, because I have something else to say. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious. I ask lots of questions because I'm a detective of life. I love learning what's possible, and I suffer FOMO. I don't want to miss out. Right. So I want to ask, like, what's going on? What are you doing? Where are you going? And that sometimes makes me crazy, let alone, that's not the word I want to use anymore. I feel like a bit of a clown's party some days, but that is so true to who I am. And yet I have, this is going to be your challenge, Paul. I have a twin sister. Mm-hmm. I was born first, but she's nothing like me. She would say to me, Mo, I feel sorry for you because you can't sleep in your own bed every night of the week. I'm like, who would want to? I get the best of both worlds. I get to be in a hotel in a bed by myself. And I get to be home with my honey, snuggling.
Yeah.
Whereas my sister always liked to be home, follow the rules, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that. She's walked that traditional road to Oz, and I liked to sort of be a wild and crazy Dorothy. Mm-hmm. So how's that possible for two Sagittarians to be so different?
That's a wonderful question. And I don't know the answer specifically related to twins, because I haven't studied that yet. But I do know that for the most part, the Sagittarius archetype, or any archetype in general, we either exude those qualities and we live them, we embody them, or it's our journey to learn how to do that. So maybe where your sister, and I'm just making things off the top of my head, but maybe where your sister is a little bit more of a rule follower, her journey is to learn how to break those rules, learn how to, you know, burst through the boundaries a little bit, press buttons a little bit, with the way, like the way a Sagittarian would, without even thinking about it.
And that's that is in a way what she's doing now if she's retired. And she started, really, that's impressive. It's exactly what she's doing. She's like, well, we're going to sell the house and we're going to move somewhere. I don't know. I haven't decided. And I'm like, Pauline, really? That's pretty cool. And I think about it. She's doing all kinds of different things and trying new things. Honestly, for our 60th birthday, she bought me a tattoo. I didn't get it yet. And she got hers. I'm like, you got a tattoo? I mean, it's a nice rose one on her ankle.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, I mean, they're all nice. Don't get me wrong. But I'm like, wow, that's really stepping out of Pauline's traditional box. So there you have it. That's a good explanation.
Yeah. So, I mean, when I find out about the twin thing, I'll let you know a little bit more, but that's, yeah, that's what comes off the top of my head. But hearing those qualities, I mean, we talked a little bit about the early years of the fitness industry here in Canada and your career, but like there's so much beyond that what we talked about. Like your career spans, as I said in your in the intro, 40 years, but you were VP of Group Fitness at Good Life at one time. You have an amazing functional fitness program with New Body. How long has that program been around?
Great question. I found it as a backpacker in 1991 in New Zealand. And then I met the creator of New Body in Australia, same backpacking trip, 3 months late, not even 3 months later. And we became immediate friends, Lexi Williams. And then I brought the workout home and applied my physiotherapy skills to bring in more of the functional movement and exercise progressions. But did find it in 1991, along the same time I found the Les Mills programs.
Well, and okay, so you've already read my my script that I have here, because you were also a Les Mills presenter and educator as well. I know when I was teaching Les Mills, you appeared on two of my the releases that I was learning, one for Body Vibe and one for Body Flow, which is now Body Balance here in Canada again. And I'm sure there's like a million other things that I haven't mentioned yet, just in terms of what you've done. But, you know, did you ever think on your exploration and your questing did you ever think that the industry would turn out to what we have here today? And like, what was it like? Because you contributed to the development of this entire Canadian fitness industry. Like how do you sit there and just like think, oh, I'm Mo Hagan and I did all this? Like, what's that like?
Well, there are times where I'm so busy working in the evolution or development of the industry that I actually do not stop to think and reflect. I'm doing more and more of that as I become as I'm in the process of becoming a phenomenal meditation, recipient of meditation. I'm doing better with that because I never thought meditation would be anything that I would connect with, but it allows me to be far more present today. But there were days, I could even say, Paul, a decade where I was so busy going and doing that I don't think I was being in the moment enough to really receive it. I mean, this is what it's about, being heart, talking from our hearts, from our place of authenticity. I could remember where I've been from the clothes I bought when I was in that country, but ask me what country that was, I may not even remember. Because I'm famous for going to a country for a weekend. I went to Taiwan for 2 days.
Wow.
I think it was Taiwan. to check out an Adidas program that we ended up teaching in the Good Life Clubs for a while. But I was so busy just doing because there was so much opportunity. Did I know where the industry was going to be going? I did not know, but I am blessed to say I had a very good coach who was as much as an intuitive coach as she was a nutritional coach, which is why I went to her to begin with. But she taught me how to find and follow my internal NASA or guiding system. And she taught me applied kinesiology, which is that, you know, is it near not only muscle testing, which honestly works if you understand how to use it, but she taught me this one sentence became my mantra. Is it in my best interest and for my highest good to fill in the blank? And it had to be a positive statement. It would be in my best interest and for my greatest good to stay home and not react to that, whatever. That's negative. The universe doesn't get negatives. So it's only going to give you what you just said. Stay home and react. Okay, I can do that. Mm-hmm. So she taught me the powerful questioning. And when it came to everything, writing a book, starting New Body, traveling to places by myself, meeting someone and them sharing a program, and I use my gift of asking and feeling. And for some, it's just knowing I have to go here first. As I pass through, I go heart to intuition, my gut, then I go to my head and figure it out. Mm-hmm. But that's what I did, in all honesty. And I'll say, it wasn't knowing what to do. It was knowing why. And I was so blessed to have amazing, I am still blessed to this day, to have an amazing boss and an amazing mentors who I simply would follow out of curiosity. And that's the definition of a leader, is follow, you know, a leader is someone who people will follow out of curiosity alone. So I would follow the Helen Vanderbergs, the Lynn Bricks, the Lexi Williams, the David Patchelevins, the Tony DeLeeds. I could go on and on and on. And I would just be curious about why they're doing what they're doing and how did they get where they're going. And typically I would then do what all good, strong Sagittarians do. I'm very ambitious and I would just try it out. It's like, well, worst can happen is I fail. Mm-hmm. And Patch taught me the lesson early. Did you learn something when you failed? Okay, then do it again. Let's try it again. Let's try not to fail, but you know, let's keep learning as we go. So I was blessed with people who granted me permission, gave me a kick in the butt when I needed it. And I learned how to use my internal guiding system. We all have one. And the other thing I'll say about my coach, Sue, was she said, your internal NASA, your internal guiding system, will never send you down a dark path if you truly listen and if you truly follow what your gift is telling you or guiding you to do. And so when you apply other techniques like applied kinesiology, I did this with many friends where should I read this book? And I could open the book to a page. And of course I was to read this book because it's all tabbed. And I go, is it in my best interest and for my highest good to read this book? And then you feel how your body will move. It might not move like clunk. Sometimes it just shifts in your body. But if you're standing up and you're doing this and you're totally focused and understand how to respond and listen. One day I did this with our dear friend, colleague in the industry, Dan McDonough, at a bookstore in Kitchener. And Dr. one of our greatest, we lost him a few years ago. Can't think of the name of the, Wayne Dyer.
Yeah.
Dr. Wayne Dyer. And I did the exact technique. Honest to God, Dan McDonough almost fell into the bookshelf. But that's guided me to make decisions over the years. It sounds, you know, a little bit odd, but I can back it up with sound evidence and research, but because I also love learning the research to go with things, but I often will make gut led decisions and then figure out how to do it and call in the team because the team makes the dream work, right?
Yes. And Mo, thank you for sharing that because that is like very similar to how I actually, there was a moment where I forgot about that, but I've been reminded of it recently. But I do use that technique from time to time where I just kind of, I stand, I feel, and I ask myself a question. I love the way you worded it. Is this, can you repeat it again?
Is this in my best interest and for my highest good to go to Egypt at the end of this month? Mm-hmm. And when I did that, and here's something that's, in all honesty, I've asked myself that question since the war in Gaza broke out. And I've been struggling. My heart's been heavy because I haven't felt comfortable speaking my truth. And this is what I do at times is lean on confidants, which I have a confidant that reminded me that it would it wasn't in my best interest and for my highest good for two reasons. One, it'd be hard to sit on a beach and enjoy yourself when there's a war going on just hours away. And then smack dab, doesn't the Canadian consulate change the rules about Canadians going to Egypt? Hmm. You now need a visa that you have to get in person. I had 2 weeks, so it helped me make my decision. I spoke my truth. Everything's fine. We're not going. But everything is fine with the organizer. Barb totally understands, but I was having a hard time sharing it. My heart was heavy because I felt like I was letting people down, mm-hmm. but I wasn't speaking my truth either. And right. as soon as I spoke what I was feeling, I was like this.
Yes. And that I get, because when we don't speak that, everything kind of turns in and it's crumpling. And energetically, that's how I feel it feels anyway. It's like everything just kind of like contracts inward when we're meant to be mm-hmm. expansive and outward. Mm-hmm. So, and just speaking that, and that's why we name things. That's why we call things out. That's why, you know, I love the the Scorpio archetype is all about going underneath and getting to the bottom of things and then naming them, bringing them to light so that they can be transformed. Because the second you speak your truth, then immediately it transforms you back into the open
energy that you are. And you regain your power.
Yes. Yeah. So I thank you for sharing that again. Like, it's just so, and even like what I love is that your, and I also want to talk about your meditation practice for a moment in a second, but I just love that you're talking about this because, you know, for me, as somebody who's been like living this stuff all my life, like I read things about energy and all of that. And so I get it. But to hear like an athlete, a physiotherapist, like you are saying this, it's my gut instinct. I'm like, yes. And then that's even proof that how far one can go following that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Oh,
that's an inspiration. Thank
Especially
you.
When you know that, you know, the worst you could do is fail.
Yeah.
But then I say in my leadership sessions, as long as you fail forward, then you're actually yeah. going in the right direction.
Yeah, exactly.
And is it not true, Paul, that we learn more when we fail than when we win?
1,000%.
Yeah.
I do anyway, because I mean, you get something out of the experience.
A lesson.
Yeah. That reminds you to, you know, then you just know for the next time and that makes you better. Yeah. One thing that I heard earlier this year, which I loved, and now I actually have it written on my bathroom mirror. Somebody was talking about reframing the phrase, what's the worst thing that could happen, into what's the best thing that could happen?
I heard the same thing this year and I thought that is the best way to go after it.
Right? Because like you said,
again, the brain can't process negatives.
Exactly. Exactly.
What's the worst thing that could happen? And then what happens? Your brain goes, all of a sudden you can come up with 100 reasons what could go wrong. Whereas why not focus on what's the best thing that could happen? Sometimes those ideas come slower because that little in the back, you know, the monkey on your shoulder is going, I think mm-hmm. I'm going to find some negative things to pull Mo back. Slow her down. But if you really listen, that's so true. Thank you for
yeah.
And my boss will say, when you say it incorrectly or you talk negatively about yourself, she taught me this. Jane would say, you say out loud, cancel, cancel. And then you re-say the statement the yes. way that you want to say it. What's the best thing that could happen?
Yeah, totally. I'd like to ask you, you just mentioned about that voice, because that voice, I mean, at one point in my career was very loud and actually forced me to kind of back away for a minute. What do you do when you hear that voice that's like getting you to slow down or telling you you can't and all of that stuff? How do you get out of that?
I go exercise. I have to move my body. And I used to think it had to be aerobic exercise. I would go for a run and save the world and myself at the same time. By the time I was done my run, I'd be sprinting at the end, which is usually the other way around, but not for Mo, because I would use running as my therapy. I love the rhythm. That's the way I grounded myself, the rhythm mm-hmm. of your feet. Love to run in the snow, love to run at night because I can hear my footsteps. You know, I love being out in nature so I can be alone with nature. But running, there's something about aerobic. But in the last number of years, I think the last 11 years, I've really come to understand the power of lifting weights. When I lift weights and I finish a late, even if it's 10 minutes and I go hard and I lift, push, pull, lift, hold my body weight, that just gets me out of my negative voice and get this thing off my shoulder and I get my power back. That is my go-to every time.
I love that. I love that movement and especially resistance training.
Oh yeah. And I love yoga, Paul. I love yoga and I am coming to love meditation and I'm in the process because it's habit forming and I use it not consistently. And I know I have a meditation coach. We'll talk about that in a moment, but if it's the one go-to, that is my therapy. It's I have to move my body to anchor my body and my mind.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Well, and also as Sagittarius, fire, yes. The element of Sag is fire. So there is that movement element it's part of you. But let's talk a little bit about your meditation practice because I love that you have one. And I mean, you've talked about your journey with that a little bit. Tell us more. How's that going? What is it? What's your meditation practice like?
Okay. I used to be consistent Monday to Fridays and for some reason I thought, well, Saturday and Sunday, I don't need to do it or I don't have time to do it. I actually flip it around now. I am not consistent. When I am even more in tune with everything, my work, my life, my relationships, myself. So I ask myself, okay, Mo, you need to do this every day to have more of that. But I would say that I meditate 3 times a week and then both Saturday and Sunday. And I'm blessed to do that because I teach yoga on Saturday. So I use meditation when I first wake up as I do the other days, but I rely on it to get me into my mojo for yoga. And then Sunday mornings, because I have space in my morning before I do my day. And that's been, I don't have time as my excuse. I just want to get going. However, here's what I've done. And I've realized that I'm capable of doing meditation daily is when I travel, I use meditation like it is a non-negotiable. First to the morning, usually when I'm traveling, it's because I'm on point with my work or I'm presenting or I am, you know, seeking a challenge of the unknown and I want to have my courage. I'll always start with meditation and I'll do it. Sometimes I do it sitting still. Sometimes I do it in a yoga posture. Sometimes I just do it sitting. I know this is breaking rules, but what's the rule? It's the rule that you make, right? That's a Sag for you. I love putting on my meditation app as I'm driving. And it works for me. It could work better to, you know, manage the brainwave part of it, but I love driving, no music. Just my meditation coach, whether it's Angela Konkin with Symphonies of the Mind, or I use my Kira Michelle from one of the apps that starts with a P. It's an exercise app that I'm not supposed to talk about. But I love Kira Michelle from that particular program. Her voice, she's Aussie or Kiwi, and she's just got the most gorgeous voice. It's like the way you present. I lean right in and I can be quiet because I hang on every word and breath that she uses. It's remarkable. So I am using it as a practice. It's something that I do need to strengthen because when I do, I'll be even more of a powerful, dynamic Mo. Especially on the days that I need to be grounded. So I'm learning as I go and I'm learning as I fail with meditation, how important meditation is.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I notice even within myself because there are times where I'm regular with it, where, you know, it's daily I'm doing, and then there's times where I'm like sporadic and it's those moments that I do it. It is a complete, like I'm a different person. You know what I mean?
Oh, I know what you mean. Again, a skill I wish we learned in school.
Yeah, right.
Oh my goodness. If my teachers had taught me that instead of saying, sit down, be quiet, stop moving. Can you imagine? I probably would have gotten really good marks in school.
And here you are now, queen of the fitness industry in Canada.
According to Paul, yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Okay, so let's talk about your Lifetime Achievement Award. I mean, first of all, I love that it's right there. I love that patch, surprised you with that because
Truly.
I mean, I've been going to that conference long enough to know that you know everything that's happening there. And then all of a sudden to be like, because I watched him kind of like shove you off the stage and then he pulls out this paper. I'm like, oh, something's up. And then he awards you with this Lifetime Achievement Award. Tell me about
Yeah, he goes, and that because we rehearsed it, and then he shoves me off stage. And did I kind of look back and went, okay, really? And then I went
that.
backstage and I literally walked to the far end where Helen was standing because she was due to be called up. And I started listening. And then I looked at Helen and I went, oh, Patch is going rogue again. And then I walked all the way to the other side backstage. And I put my head in my notes because I'm kind of a perfectionist and was totally did not know that Ryan, the videographer, standing right there, knowing what was about to happen. So I had, and then of course, this is where my more like my twin. I heard my name and Helen's calling my name. And I thought, so what I do, instead of walking up the stairs that were right in front of me, going up where I came up, I ran all the way across the back of the stage so I could go up the proper way and, do the right thing. No clue. Everybody's like, oh, you would have had to, no idea. I even asked to look at the PDF, the PowerPoint slides. I asked and asked and asked, can I just run through them one more time? Then I, no, we're good. We've got to get out of here. They're going to charge us double time and a half. I'm like, oh, okay, bye. I guess I'll just wing it. And I
My
never got to
gosh.
see. I did not listen. I had no idea what Patch said. And then I got his notes, and that was in the moment. So you have heard all that. I'm like, and that was truly like a. And then it took me till Wednesday to get a copy of the video to actually, I saw a clip of it on Facebook, but I didn't even know what Patch said until 4 days, 5 days later.
Wow. But what is that like? I mean, you have done so much work with Can-Fit Pro. I mean, it's where it is because of you. What's that like to like then to have Patch be like, okay, here's a lifetime achievement for everything that you've done here within our organization and beyond?
It really is. Gratitude is such a powerful aid to grant people the opportunity to reflect and to also, resurge their purpose. Like it reminded me what I do matter, what I've done matters. It's having impact. I know that, but to receive the recognition in front of your peers, that's so personal. And it just reminded me that I'm in the right place and what I'm doing is making impact. And it really came to mind that, this reminds me, and this is works for, I mean, yeah, recognition. We all love recognition. It's more powerful than saying, oh, I'm going to give you a raise. Recognition in front of your peers is the most powerful form of feedback or feed forward that you can get. But when I look at this, it reminds me every day why I get up. And it reminds me every day, especially when I'm doing things that aren't my strength, or I don't really like to do, or I have to stay up late to do, or work on a weekend to do. It reminds me that it matters. It matters for the industry. It matters for the people that work at Can-Fit Pro, that what they do matters, and the collective grants people the opportunity to have a career that is essential today. Essential part of the healthcare team. And, it really did hit, like, wake me up to I'm living my legacy. This is like evidence that I'm living my legacy. And that gives me the power to keep doing it for who knows how long. And I think that's part of Patch's strategy.
He's like, we need another 30 years to go.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, that's amazing. Well, we're coming to the end of, or near the end of 2023. 2024, what are you envisioning for your 2024, personally, professionally? Give us some, do you have anything in store that you can,
Fair.
tease us with?
Oh, okay. So What makes me feel alive is when I can travel. That is when my heart's like really happy, when I get to travel, meet up with friends I haven't seen. We just pick up on the conversation. I still get the giggles when I get off a flight on the other side of the world and go, I can't believe it. 12 hours ago, I was in London, Ontario, and in 12 hours now I'm in New Zealand, like, or whatever it is. You know, I still giggle when I travel thinking this is cool. Like, I get to be here. I want to be able to get back and travel. But at the same time, I love what the pandemic did to help me understand how much I love being home with my honey in my Will and Grace corner on a Friday night. And no, I don't have to do anything. I just get to be present and enjoy the moment. Here's the hint for next year. My husband is retiring on December the 31st, whatever the Friday is before the last weekend of the year. He's been a lawyer for 45 years. He's going to continue to have his licensed practice, but he's officially retired. And that means that Mo is going to enjoy more time present in the moment and not always be busy being busy. How that is going to happen is Mo is going to figure out a way with the help of her coaches and mentors to work smarter so that I can work less hours, but more strategically as I lift others up to take on more responsibility in their roles, which is serving. That's my job, is to serve others and help them grow and lead and take the company and take the industry forward. So that I can then, and the two match well, I can then travel a bit more and not always be thinking about work. And on top of that, it's continuing to work on my self-care. And that is just practicing things that I love to do, but don't always have the time to do as much of. And that is having my mornings to start with meditation and morning exercise, or go out and walk in nature. And is to enjoy some of those moments, to read. Oh my gosh, I collect books. I love the physical book. I love how it smells. I love cracking the binding. I have so many books. And while I've learned through my coach, Sue, you don't have to read a whole book cover to cover for it to be worth its weight in binding. I want to be able to read more, because I feel like that leadership is just readership, or maybe it's readership is leadership. So just having more time to be present, to work on my own self-care so I can be an even stronger leader, and then lead in industries where I can lend my experience and my wisdom as a health and fitness professional in the corporate space, being a speaker out in the corporate world more than I'm able to do right now. I'd love to speak more.
Yes. Oh my God. Okay. I'm so excited for you, because for a number of reasons. You're a wonderful speaker, so I love that there's going to be more opportunity for that. The other thing that I love is that by you taking more time to be grounded and do the things that fill your cup, your creativity is going to skyrocket. Like, watch out, everybody.
That's right. This is exciting. And that's what I love. I love being creative. It's hard to be creative when you're feeling stressed.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Well, because that's, I mean, with the stress, everything contracts. There's no, creativity is life force energy moving through us. When we're stressed and contracted, it can't get through. So when we soften, that's why meditation, when we relax and we breathe, we bring that creative force into us. And then boom, the ideas just show up.
I can just imagine. That is where I feel my role and responsibility. And I'm blessed to have this. I know that I am privileged to be in this position through the learnings over the years. But I do feel that my responsibility is to respond and be able to bring the best opportunities from CanFit Pro to the fitness industry. And to do that, I need to be able to step out of, some of that daily minutiae and get work on the business as best that I know how, and to actually explore more possibilities within myself so I can even do better, not more, but more effective. And bring more opportunities to all of us. And, you know, that's what we all deserve.
Wow. Mo, I just love you so much. I honestly could talk to you for hours. You always have so many insightful things to say. You like this, your what did it say here? You have the most wide-ranging interests. I love that. I can talk to you about like physical fitness. We could talk about, energetics. We could talk any like I love that about you. So thank you
Thank
so
you.
much.
Just don't ask me anything about cooking because I do not know anything about cooking.
That's why we have other people to do those things for us.
Yep.
Oh, I love that. So Mo, before we go, I do have a few of our lightning round questions. So I'm just going to ask you three questions. Whatever comes out of your heart, you can expand as much as you'd like. But our first question, and I think you kind of touched upon this, but I'll ask it anyway. What makes your heart sing?
When I get to be adventurous, travel, do a variety of things, so on point with what you said, Paul, and I can serve my purpose, which is moving people. And I moving people in whatever way that is. I always thought it was fitness, but now I'm realizing it. Moving people, just even being in a room with someone and helping to light their spark, reminding them that they are in this world as uniquely themselves and use their gifts, whatever that is. Those things just bring me to life. Lastly, collaboration. I love being with people. I love this experience. You know, I feel like I have to take my jacket off because there's so much like collaborative love and energy here. I'm just like sweating in a good way. But it's, you know, I know that we all get to walk this path in life alone, but we don't have to be alone. And that's what makes my heart sing, is when I'm in alignment with my purpose and my passion, I get to do it with others and speak authentically my truth.
Oh my God, I love that. I feel that. I also will take my shirt off with you. But now, Mo, on the other side of that, what makes your heart heavy?
Well, when I'm not able to speak my truth, if I feel my confidence is waning, and that happens, we all are human. So there are days where I feel like my confidence is not my superpower, and I feel that I shouldn't speak up because it is more like criticism than helping to move people forward. You know, it's amazing that you can share some information and it inspires people, but when you share feedback with people, it sometimes can be criticism. And I really strive for people to at least respect me, which I know when you're honest with them, that's respect. But if I have to speak my truth and it's hard to get to that point, my heart is heavy. And when I'm seeing things around me that are, I don't feel like I can make a difference in helping with. Homelessness in London, Ontario is one of those. When I go for my walk, yes, I feel better, but it sits with me. My heart feels heavy because I see so much homelessness and I do my part. My brother is homeless. I help his daughters. I can't help my brother. And I've had to learn that while my heart is heavy, I can't change the way he's choosing to live his life. And I can't change the way others are choosing to live their life. But I get caught in that. I want to help them. I want to create the change. I want to make it faster. I get impatient. That's what makes my heart heavy when I can't do what I feel like I can do to create that difference in the world.
Well, thank you for sharing that, Mo. I mean, yeah, that's that I don't have any words to say to that, but thank you for that. With our last question though, where is your heart guiding you these days?
And I, in part, shared that already. It's guiding me to be adventurous and curious about what this new life with, you know, a spouse that's retiring and excited to look towards retirement, which I was a bit afraid. I knew my husband was going to retire perhaps before me, and I was always a bit nervous that he would just be sitting at the door of my office going like, are we going to go walk or do something? But he's excited and I'm excited for him. So I'm choosing to be excited about where our new life is going to go and have more time to explore things together and be able to find a good balance, highs and lows in the balance of work and contribution, so that I can continue to contribute and work. I'm not going anywhere for a while, but at the same time, work more strategically so I can focus on us and the things that I would love to see and catch up on. I do have some FOMO around everyone out traveling, and I'm not traveling as much as I used to.
Yeah.
And I'd like to be able to, you know, earn those, you know, travel points as much as I used to.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I see you are going to be hitting up some places around this globe in 2024. It's going to be
amazing
for you.
And one of those is coming soon that we'll be able to talk about.
Ooh, okay. Well, I can't wait. Hey, you know, anytime you have an announcement, you're welcome to make it here on the podcast. Okay. Anytime you want, Mo, just let me know.
All right. I'll follow up.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I had the best time with you today, Mo. I mean, it's never long enough, but I'm just so glad that I get to spend any time with you, because you help my heart to expand. I always feel more rejuvenated and more, just more, I don't know, your energy is infectious, and now I'm like excited to go out and continue doing things. So
I'll continue to do what you're doing, because you are giving us the opportunity to fill our cups and to explore and to be more present. I love what you're doing with your psychological astronomy.
Astrology, yeah.
Astrology. What did I say? Astronomy. Astrology. I would love to see that as a session at Camfit Pro. I can see you doing so many great things with your practice and with your speaking. And who knows, maybe there's a book there someday for you, because all your learning needs to continue to be shared so people can find the whole person within themselves. And that's what you really help me do, but you help so many other people too as well. And so keep doing what you're doing. Your podcast is amazing. Every time I listen to it, I think, why don't I listen to this like every episode, which I'm going to start to do, because you really are. And I always say this to people, I can say this because I'm a physiotherapist, but you are truly therapy of the best kind.
Oh, thank you, Mo. Oh my gosh. This was all about you, but I'm just going to receive all of that, because I love you, and that means the world to me. Thank you so much for your presence. Listeners, check out the show's notes, because all the ways that you can get in touch with Mo, you can follow her on the socials, is all there. And Mo, you yourself have a podcast, so people can find that.
Absolutely. And I'd love to have you as my guest on A Moment with Mo in 2024.
Oh my God, I would love to. Okay, listeners, you heard it. It's going to happen. Mo, thank you so much for joining us. And listeners, next week, we're going to be with Crystal Eves, Dr. Patricia Rennie, and Jackie Talley for another episode of the Living Spiritfully Collective. Mo, I love you so much.
I love you, Paul. Thank you so much. You truly are. Just you've made my day, my week, and my month.
Oh, I love that. Happy early birthday, because we're almost in Sagittarius season. Oh. So you get to celebrate the entire season, Mo, not just the one day, the Yay. Entire 30 days that we're in Sagittarius. So enjoy that. We love you. And thanks
Thank
again.
Thank you. Bye for now.
Spiritfully Podcast is a Spiritful production. Executive producer, Paul Galoro. Co-producers, Claudia Miko and Catherine Stilo. A big thank you and much love to you, the Living Spiritfully community, for liking, subscribing, sharing, and supporting this podcast.